Welcome to Brand Disciples, where we are calling a generation of entrepreneurs to mission and equipping the church to disciple them. I'm David Mills. I'm described by some people as a person with weird gifts, but I am gifted to touch the world like Jesus as someone who is apostolic and evangelistic, and that means I'm passionate about getting people on mission and helping them take new steps toward Him. I live on the margin between the church and the world and business and ministry, and I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. My favorite thing is to see people inside and outside of church empowered to be on mission every single day. I'm gifted to be like Jesus as I teach what's true and shepherd people through their journey. Welcome in, guys.
Awesome. Today, we're going to talk about where a lot of entrepreneurs live, this place of tension between confusion and conquest, or wandering around and being focused. And so I think we're going to have some really interesting and I think practical steps for folks to think about how they can become more effective in what they do. So our team's had the opportunity to work with hundreds of entrepreneurs over the last number of decades, and even in a more concentrated way in the last couple of years. Most of them have expressed a real hunger to find ways that God could show up in their work. But they're all at different places in their journey, and they're each working in their industry in a kind of a unique way. But the real challenge they have is a lot of them don't feel like they have traction in how their faith is being expressed through their business. And it feels a little bit like wandering around in the wilderness. There's a verse in Proverbs 29:18, which I think is really good. This is from the Message. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. And the version you might be more familiar with is, when a people without a vision will perish. So There's really this thing about how do we get ourselves into a space where we're focused, where we're not just wandering around, where we're not just like we're doing the grind with no purpose. Like it's like flailing. So that's a challenge for a lot of entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Without question, entrepreneurs tend to be people full of ideas. I am not apostolic, someone who's really inherently starting new things by nature, but I am an entrepreneur, not only by trade, but also by learned behavior. Like I've been in the entrepreneurial world for a really long time. And there's a lot of us that see the world in opportunity. We see the world colored by a lens of, hey, here's a gap that needs to be filled. Hey, here's an opportunity for something new. Hey, here's a group of people who need a thing. And if you walk around all day seeing that, it's pretty hard to focus.
Yeah, I mean, we can be driven by these ideas. These ideas just call to us. These opportunities just call to us to step into them. And we can go down a million rabbit trails, right? We can be wearing 16 hats. There's another verse I think that's really interesting. And I think the key here is how do we get out of that wandering mode into a more focused mode? Ephesians 2:10, it says, He creates each of us to join Him in the work He does. The good work He has gotten ready for us to do. So like there is actually a path and there's a focus that God has actually prepared for us. He does want us to step into things that He has planned for us. And so I think it's important that we have to make a shift, right? Because we'll end up burning a candle on 16 ends and we'll just melt down in the end and we won't accomplish the kind of things we could otherwise.
Yeah, it's interesting. This makes me think of when Jesus says, I can only do what the Father's doing. I think there's a really clear message in there. What do you, because that's such a strange statement coming from Jesus, but Jesus is God. Jesus can set the pace. Jesus can set the agenda, but He didn't set the agenda. Down to His very sacrificial death, He did not set the agenda, which is quite interesting. Especially as you think of being people of free will, being people who live in freedom, being people who are called to co-creation. What does it mean to both to sit in that tension of entering into co-creation with God and God saying, hey, you have lots of freedom to be iterative and be imaginative and be innovative while also only doing what the Father's doing?
And you know, that's a challenge. You think about it, from the Jesus story also, there were people all the time trying to get Him to do stuff. They said, okay, Jesus, come on. Get an army together. Let's go take Jerusalem. There's always people asking Him to do something.
Well, and you think about His mom, right? Like, I just love that His first miracle was His mom being like, Jesus, And he's, what do you want, woman?
Like, that story is really interesting because in Israel, there's actually a verse or a saying in the Talmud that says that if wine is flowing freely from your house, then you are blessed. And so that miracle is really cool because he actually was allowing that family to have the appearance and be blessed in the eyes of others, which was interesting. So back to our actual discussion today. Now we're coming back from the rabbit trail. We're demonstrating what it is that we're talking about today. How do we get clear, you know, on what God has in mind for you? How do you get clear on that? And so it can be like in the Old Testament, it can be like the difference between kind of meandering in the wilderness like Israel. Like they spent 2 years taking the initial 11-day journey from Egypt to the Jordan. And then they sent spies in for 40 days. And then because of their bad responses, they got to wander for 40 years. So how do you get out of that 40-year deal and get into something much more focused? As soon as Joshua started leading and they stepped across the Jordan, it was on, right? It was very focused. It was a march to take over. They had a few bumps in the road, right? But there was this difference between wandering around and being focused. And I know what it feels like to wander around, and it's not fun. And my whole being just doesn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about the apostolic gifting, right? So this conversation is really true for people who are gifted to be innovative and be catalyzers of new communities, of new ideas, of new businesses, and start systems and all that stuff. And Alan Hirsch says that the immature version of that, someone who's deeply immature in this ability to like start and innovate, is someone who has a ton of ideas but can't discern which ideas are from God. And the first time I heard that, it was a little painful, you know, putting a knife into a little rough spot,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. And so it's so true for those who see the world, as you said, through this lens of opportunity. We can get drawn into all kinds of stuff and we can end up just wandering around and not really achieve the things that God has actually in mind for us. And by the way, we keep talking about this apostolic, evangelistic, shepherding, teaching thing. Just so everyone's aware, this comes from Ephesians chapter 4, and we actually have a 12-week program you can go through to unwrap how you're gifted from Ephesians 4. So just let us know if you want to talk about that. So how do we do this? How do we move from wandering to being focused and productive and efficient and really harnessing the engine of who we are in our business? So we've got 4 steps that we think are really important for entrepreneurs to be able to do that. And those 4 steps, and we're going to go over those. It might take 2 podcasts to cover these, but we're going to go over them. The first one is we have to sync our calling, our gifting, and our work together, instead of being fragmented or divided or misdirected. So sync is the first one. The second one is that we need to have a strategy that sees the unique access and opportunity that our being in the marketplace opens to us. So we need to have a strategy that's illuminated by what we call apostolic imagination, seeing a much bigger opportunity than just even the commercial opportunity that you see. And so that's the second one, strategy. The third one is related to the structure of your business. And based on Matthew 6:33, we want our business to be something that we use to seek the kingdom of God first. And so when we structure our business this way, it shifts us from just being a passive participant in God's work to actually organizing our businesses around that purpose and identifying how we can, in a business sense, best help move that kingdom forward. And the fourth thing is what we call singularity. And that chapter 4 in Ephesians really gets after this, talks about all the things where there's unity. We really believe that you have to see your life and your relationships in a single way. You are part of Christ. You are part of his body. And that reality, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, goes with you everywhere you go. So we're not fragmented. We're not isolated. We're part of something bigger. And being connected there is part of our coming to focus. So that's the 4 areas that we want to talk about. So let's talk about this idea of syncing. How do you sync your gifts and your calling and your work together?
Isn't that the ultimate question?
It's one of the ultimate questions.
It's one of the ultimate questions. About 2 years ago, maybe a little more, I remember sitting in a meeting with Dave and trying to articulate how much I wanted to come to work as a whole person. We have Brand Disciples as our ministry and our mission and our nonprofit, but we also have our commercial business. Just do marketing, just normal businessy type stuff. And I was coming to work every day feeling like I'm leaving half of me behind. I'm still here in the spirit of who Jesus is. I still want to love on people, all those things. It's not like it turned into a nasty business mogul, but there was this deep calling and desire inside of me to start coming to work unapologetically as this whole person in all of my being. And that calling was, I now see how deeply that was from the Lord calling us into a new season of something different he wanted for us. But that's what I think of when we talk about sync. I think about how so many of us just want to be whole people everywhere we are.
And so that starts with beginning to get some definition around it. It starts with, as you said, Amy, it starts with identifying that there is no division between kind of what's sacred and what's sacred and what's secular. There's a quote from Dallas Willard, which I like to read. It's really good. It says, "There is truly no division between sacred and secular except what we have created. And that is why the division of legitimate roles and functions of human life into the sacred and secular does incalculable damage to our individual lives and to the cause of Christ. Holy people must stop going into church work as their natural course of action and take up holy orders instead in farming, industry, law, education, banking, and journalism with the same zeal previously given to evangelism or pastoral and missionary work." So I think we have to erase this idea that some of the stuff we do is holy, some of it's not. There's no division. Everything we do is intended to be an act of worship.
Yeah. I was watching Lego Masters last night with my children, which turned out to be a terrible idea because there were some interesting characters in that cast, which we will not be visiting again. But my girls are 5 years old, so there's much of the world they are still innocent to. But anyway, one of the tasks was, for this particular episode, they had cut a bunch of items in half. So if you guys don't know, Lego Masters is Lego. People have to build Lego in one day and they get some kind of cool prize at the end. I think it's like 100 grand. They had cut a bunch of stuff in half. One of the things they had cut in half was a computer, a laptop computer, cut in half. And the assignment was, okay, take your team, and for each thing cut in half, you guys have to build something on the other half, but we don't want you to replicate it. We want you to go above and beyond. Take this thing and then get really creative with it. So there's like a telescope and there's like half of a bicycle. And what could you do? Half of a pinata. What could you do with the other half of that? And these guys were given a laptop. And they're engineers and they're thinking and they're like, literally, they're sitting there and they say, "What do you do with a laptop?" And the other guy says, "You work on it." So what they came up with in the end, they replicated the other half of the laptop. And then out of the other half of the laptop, which they again had replicated, so now they have a whole laptop, was like icons for different things you do with a computer. They had built this in Lego. Icons for what you do on a computer. And I'm sitting there going, what the heck? Like, for me, half a computer is half a world. There's a whole world inside a computer. There's so much that you can do with this other half. But for these guys, all they could do in their paradigm, they could not break out of their paradigm of a computer's for working. So let's just show Legos working. It was such, for me, as we're talking about the sinking and the, there is so much of our evangelical American Christianity that says if you're going to do ministry, then you must be working in a church. Or if you want to do ministry, but you still are entrepreneurial, then you're bivocational, right? You do your day job during the day, and then you plant your church at night and on the weekends. And anyway, for me, that illustration is like, That's exactly what it feels like sometimes to talk to people or to spark this imagination. Like, what else can you do with the other half of a computer? I can give you 50,000 things you can do, and none of them include work.
You're right. What happens is we get into this mindset, and then it strips away the creativity and this apostolic imagination of what God could do through me, what God might do through me if I were to try it. And so part of the deal here is that when we stop doing that, we then get to see that in a concrete, practical way, God has actually gifted us in very specific ways. So it's not just generic, right? It's actually very specific. And so when you begin to unpack that and understand that you, as a person who knows Jesus, have been gifted by him, when you unpack that and you begin to understand that gifting and begin to take it with you everywhere, including your work, it changes the way that you work. It changes your understanding about how you work. And instead of taking some personality test somewhere and saying, yeah, I'm just like that, and making apologies, you can begin to really begin to look and be Jesus wherever you go with whoever you are. And that's the idea here, is that syncing up your gifts, your calling, and your work is about understanding that you are a single person, an individual person, you're one, and that the gifting that God has given you goes with you everywhere that you go. And that will change the way you work in a big way.
That's good.
If you take a little farther, you think about Israel again. They're wandering around in the wilderness. Here they are. They take 2 years to make an 11-day journey, right? They get to the Jordan. They send these 40 spies in, and then most of the spies come back with a really bad report. And they say, there's giants over there. They're going to kick our rear ends. And so they're afraid. And part of what was going on is they did not understand who they were connected to. Even though God had parted the Red Sea and he had a pillar of cloud and fire and he had been feeding them every day miraculously, they still didn't understand that. And so their calling was really confused. And it allowed them not to really step into the things that they could have stepped into. And so when we talk about this whole idea of gifting, we draw that from Ephesians chapter 4, which tells us how each one of us is designed to function like Jesus and what the outcome of that will be if we walk in it together. But that idea of calling, that passage starts by saying, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So here's Israel on the border of the promised land on the other side of the Jordan, and the calling they have is to be God's people and for God to show up and to do things for them. But they didn't understand that. They were not carrying and walking in that calling. And the same thing happens to us. We have this calling, these gifts that we're carrying with us. And because we don't know, even understand them or maybe believe them, we don't walk in them. And so what do? We take 40 laps in the wilderness instead of pressing in to something that could be very dramatic.
I was talking with someone that is on a team that I work with at church. I work with, I disciple them. And we'd had this conversation about getting an answer about who you are and why you matter from Jesus first thing in the morning before anything else. So you don't go walk around all day getting that question answered from someone else. And so we're having this conversation, and this is a man who came from atheism and is deeply in love with Jesus. He is extremely wise, very discerning, walks in his faith. He works for the government. He goes to a day job every day, works with a team of people who are doing techy things. And it really hadn't occurred to him, more than just being a good person, right? Being nice to people, loving on people. It really hadn't occurred to him that the way he could operate in that space might be on mission. And he was just expressing this tiny tweak in his day, handing that day over to the Lord, how it had began to change the way he thought when he was at work. And I think it's just there's sort of almost like an awakening that needs to happen when you start to turn the light bulb on a little bit, even though you're walking in Jesus every day, even though you love Jesus, really do. You're not leaving it on Sunday, right? You're not leaving it there. You're walking in it throughout the week. There's still something that happens to us when we sit down at a desk. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's the evil desk spell. If it gets on you. I mean, what's happened is that's been defined by the world around us. And so we really have to work at this, and we have to really align what God has said about us, how he's uniquely created us to be like Jesus with everything about our life. And it's not just a mental activity. It's a walk that you have with the Holy Spirit in which you are asking him to help you do that. And you're looking for the opportunities, because that Ephesians 4:1 passage says to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you've received. If you put that into this story about Israel, it's really saying that you're carrying his name. The word calling actually means to carry the name. So when you're carrying the name of Jesus, you're carrying the gifts of Jesus. You're carrying the life of Jesus. You're carrying the wisdom, the compassion, the love with you. When you sync that up and you learn about how he's gifted you uniquely, you can begin to really live this out in a new way. And it changes the way you work.
Yeah. I think another place that we get really distracted, especially as entrepreneurs, is when we start to think about like strategy. Right? I've been super guilty of this. As entrepreneurs, we understand that the world tells us we're supposed to be successful, we're supposed to scale well, we're supposed to be the one in the million story that's just killing it. And so we begin to look at and listen to the wisdom and the teaching of people in the entrepreneurial space. We begin to idolize and read the books of people who have made it big, who have understood scaling, who have started lean, who have done all the right things to create an entrepreneurial success story. And that creates, I think, a lot of wandering around.
Yeah, it's part of this. We're being imprinted with a pattern. That is, and while there may be business wisdom and some things that we need to be doing, it goes back to identity, I think, in a lot of ways. And so the strategy that you need to adopt is that you have a bigger purpose, right? And so going back to Israel, they're on the border of Palestine, across the Jordan. It's been promised to them. But what they didn't understand is that there was a bigger purpose. So Isaiah Chapter 49, verse 6, here's what Isaiah says. I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will I restore you to greatness, the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you a light to the nations so that all the world may be saved. So the ultimate calling of Israel was to be a light to the nations, that all the world would know God through them. And the exact same thing's true of all of us as we think about our business. And so what you're saying, Amy, is we get sucked into living a life that only produces material benefit and ignores the spiritual impact. So the truth here is that when you are in business, you have been given the opportunity to interface and involve yourself with lots of different kinds of people, community members, it could be customers, it could be vendors, there's employees, there's partners, there's people that are in your network. And all of those groups of people are, many of them are really far away from God. And you probably may be the only person who could reach many of those folks. Like the local church is really an alien place to a lot of those folks. So if you were to stop right now and just think about all the people you have relationships with in your community because of your business, which ones of those groups are people that have never been reached for the gospel? They might have information about the gospel, but maybe they've never actually come to grips with it. Maybe they've never seen it lived out in front of them. Maybe it's never been made flesh for them. Whether that's any of those groups. So strategy is really about thinking about the groups that God has strategically put you into business with as the place where the light needs to shine. And Jesus said it to his disciples in Matthew 9:37-38. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest, ask him to send out more workers into his fields. So when it says that the harvest is great, this is a Greek word that it's actually pronounced police. but it really means there's a huge multitude. Like there's a huge segment of mankind that is really ready to come to Christ, to come to know God. And you probably are one of the people who has been called to carry that message to them and to live that out with them and in front of them and for them. But and that only happens because you're in business, right? Mm-hmm. So the shift we see, the first shift we talked about is syncing up your gifts and calling with your work. The second shift we see is that entrepreneurs see their business as a platform that needs to be organized for the purpose of the mission. And the mission is not just something we do when we write a check on Sunday to the mission fund. It's not something we do when we give to the local charity activity. It's actually the way we organize our business. Instead of just seeing it as a second thing we do or something optional or a hobby, it's actually the reason you're in business. The reason God put you in business was to be a blessing, was to be a light, was to touch the harvest. And if you're in business and you're not doing that, then it's partly because you probably never thought of it. Or your imagination has been shut down so that you see yourself as just, oh, I'm just here to do my widgets, sell my widgets and support my widgets. I'm a widget installer or whatever it is you do.
And it may be that a couple other things, right? It may be that you have been an idea person in like your church sacred context and you've been not given opportunities to do that. You've been shut down. People see you as someone who has too many ideas. You constantly have a new idea. And so but in the entrepreneurial space, being an idea person, being someone who has places to go and places to innovate is like absolutely nourished, encouraged, excited. And so I think sometimes, as Dave said, use that term apostolic imagination. We turn off the apostolic imagination in our work space when it comes to things that are sacred. We see opportunities all around us, but not opportunities for Jesus, not opportunities for faith to reach beyond the borders of the church, because we've been taught that's too much or not a thing or interruptive or whatever. And so it's almost like reigniting that freedom to say, no, this is a gift and it's important. And I do want to point out, we're talking a lot to people who are natural entrepreneurs, people who are naturally like innovating and having ideas. I am not one of those people. I have gifts that are typically relate to sustainability and creating structure and creating processes. And if you're that kind of person, likely you are working with someone who's like this. Likely you're working with someone who's extremely innovative, who's catalytic, who has ideas, who has places to go, who has drive, who has vision. And so I want to encourage you to say, those are gifts. And we, as people who create sustainability and structure and longevity, would also perish without the influence of visionary people. And so I have personally deeply benefited from being in a context or a community where that was normal. So it's an exciting, good thing.
And the same thing applies to those who have this role of structure and systems. They can also put the kibosh on these visionary things.
Yes.
Right? Because they get so tired of hearing all these ideas. So it's really important, like, for the whole team to recognize that the strategy for your business is more than just making money. It is actually, there is a calling on your business and there's a calling on your life. And there are groups of people around you that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So if you're going to pray this prayer, asking him to send more workers, he's probably going to tap you on the shoulder. And so there's this, so there's imagination that needs to be unlocked and supported, right? We see this field that we can step into, this field that's white with harvest, with a great multitude of people. You can almost hear them crying out to you to say, come over here. We want to know about Jesus. We want to know about how to have a friendship with God. The whole business should be called into that and have a sense of that. And it should be on mission together. It's not just for those who have the apostolic evangelistic gifting to do that. It's for the whole team to do that. And that should be, in our perception, that should be not just a sidelight, but it should be an intentional thing around which you organize your business on purpose. And if that means, it can mean a whole bunch of different things. It can get lived out in a whole bunch of different ways. It could be that you released employees one day a week to go and do something that's on mission. It could be that you guys work a half day every day on business and a half day on something else, on mission-related stuff. It can form a lot of things, a lot of different things. And so I think it's important. I think, Amy, I think we actually should probably save the other two for next podcast, because I think at this point, like, it'd be really good for people to just spend a few minutes think about the business that you're in and the work that you do, and think about the groups of people around you, whether they're employees or vendors or other companies or customers or community members. Who are all the people that are in your circle? And how many of them, and which groups do you have this unique access to? And maybe those people are far away from God. So I would say, like, just beginning to think about that and asking God to show you, Lord, show me not just individuals, that's good and important, but what about the groups? What about, why are you in this business, in this location, in this industry, in this moment? Why are you standing on the side of the Jordan right now, looking across the river, right? So I think it'd be good to spend a few minutes just sending the spies out and don't let them come back with a scary report. And I think that would be important. And just to maybe think and meditate a little bit about, God, have you called me to be a light? Have you called me to step into the harvest, not as some kind of professional preacher, but as a business person, as an entrepreneur? So I think we could brainstorm about specific businesses. It doesn't really matter which business you're in. There's lots of people around you who are far from God. And there's whole groups of them that you might have access to that no one else does. So I'd love for us to wrap it there and just let people chew on that a little bit.
Yeah. I think another thing to be chewing on is, if you are someone who has, we've talked a lot about apostolic gifting and kind of that entrepreneurial spirit and the lens of opportunity. If that's you, do you have people in your life that are helping you to identify and be better at discerning what my husband calls a good idea versus a God idea? Are you learning to hone those skills? Are you bulldozing around with new ideas all the time and creating fatigue for your shepherdy, teachery type people? Or are you actually focused in those ideas towards something that the Lord is doing?
Yeah. And aligning your gifts and understanding your gifts is part of the way you can begin to sort some of that out and begin to understand. And then also understanding of the gifts of those around you. And how, what, with what voice do they speak? With what lens do they see the world? It helps you to sort these ideas out. But I do think landing on a place where you allow God to reignite your imagination and bring you on mission, even just to begin dreaming about it, a place to start.
Yeah, I love it. Guys, thanks for listening. And if you have been hearing about these Ephesians 4 giftings and you're not really sure where you land, we would love to get you connected to the 5Q assessment that comes from Alan Hirsch. So we'll put a link in the show notes for that so that you can get clarity on your giftings. We'll also include show note links to some of our discipleship groups and some of the ways that we are supporting entrepreneurs and churches in this journey.
Awesome. Thanks for listening. See you next time, or hear you next time, or maybe we'll talk to you next time.